Hey, we got lots to get to today. We'll get to President Trump. We'll get to the McDonald's scandal. We'll get to the Irishman. We'll get to AOC. We'll get to President Trump moving. We'll get to wacky Elizabeth Warren and rising Pete there and more. Coming up, this is the show where we clear up all the misconceptions, get to the real story, what's really going on. The Dow, look at that, all-time high, 27,500. That's the all-time record for the Dow. So what the hell is all the complaining about?
Oh, it's terrible. the country's falling apart.
And this is a healthy rise in the Dow. Sometimes it's not that healthy, but in this case, you've got wages up dramatically at all levels. And you've got jobs at the lowest point, unemployment at the lowest point in over 50 years, 55 years, all-time record low unemployment.
We should throw the president out of office. This is so bad.
Well, that's why the impeachment. Now, if you feel, if you get upset about this impeachment stuff, don't. Take it as a compliment. Democrats, you see all these fake polls. Biden can win by 20 points. Warren can win by 10 points. These are all rigged. They're all fake. If you check on our webpage, we've got all the documentation. Even that Fox poll, they got caught 2 weeks ago putting Republicans at 18%, Democrats at 45% in the sample. Geez. The questions are rigged. They don't use likely voters, which you're supposed to. They use other groups. So it's all totally, but behind the scenes, candidates and the DNC and the Democrats pay a fortune for real polls. One reason those public polls stink is they're cheap. To do it the right way actually costs a lot more money. Like these public polls, you know, a New York Times poll, this costs you about $5,000 to $10,000 to do. A serious poll from real pollsters, you're paying $1 million a month. So, but in the real polls, they can see President Trump easily wins in possibly a landslide. That's why the impeachment. That's why they've got to do this. They see they haven't got a candidate. There's always you're always in the same situation every time a presidential election comes along. You got somebody that donors are pushing, the big money donors, the elders of the party. It was Hillary. It was Jeb Bush. They're always pushing somebody. In this case, it's Biden. And always the same thing. The somebody they're pushing can't talk. He's bumping into walls. Doesn't know where the hell he is. Looks corrupt. Looks stupid. And you say, why would the donors push somebody so corrupt and stupid? You just answered your own question there. They like the whoever it is. It's somebody they worked with for years. He plays the game, takes their calls, does what they want. That's why they're pushing him. I think most Democrats now realize Biden is incoherent, bumping into walls. Hey, let's be honest. They can write up a little thing for him to say in the debate. He can rehearse it 50 times, but you'll agree when he gets in the debate, maybe he gets through two sentences, then he gets lost and it becomes gibberish. You can't. Bernie just had a heart attack. He's 80 and having a heart attack. Biden, would you be shocked if you picked up a paper one day and we, God forbid, but found out Biden had a heart attack or a stroke or something? Would you be shocked?
No.
So he's not going to make it. Bernie's not going to make it. Elizabeth Warren is an interesting character. She's not going to make it. She's far left, and she's not real. It's all fake. You know, she comes out, I have put together a comprehensive health care plan for the entire United States of America. Now, most people stop and think for a minute. Wait a minute, she doesn't know anything about healthcare. She has no expertise at all. Why would you want a healthcare plan designed by a total amateur?
And for a lot of people, their insurance is just fine.
It's just fine. Yeah. 80% of America.
I don't want mine to change.
80% of America in every survey has great Cadillac healthcare insurance. They get it through their companies, through the unions or whatever. So you need to come up with something for that other 20%, and that's a simple, but you don't need to redo. And if you did, you know, I ride around the subways. I know the subways pretty well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would you want me to come up with the comprehensive plan to redesign the entire subway system for New York? What the hell do I know about doing that?
If we gave you a lot of money, maybe you could do it.
No, you could give me $1 trillion. I still am not an expert. I don't know anything about it. That's why you bring in that guy, Andy Byford, who put together the Toronto system, the London system. He's got, but you'll never see this in a debate. The moderator saying, with all due respect, Senator, what the hell do you know about healthcare? You ever run a hospital? Do you ever work in an insurance company? What the hell do you know about it?
Good point.
I mean, if you got a guy who was the administrator of the largest hospital chain in the, or he ran the single biggest health insurance company in the world, maybe he would know something. But what did she teach in Harvard?
I don't know.
Something economics or something. What the hell do you know about putting together a healthcare plan? Maybe you could be on the committee that picks the healthcare plan for Harvard, but that's about it. You can't design the whole healthcare system of America. And so she's going to fall. If you've been listening to the show for a while, I think we've been pretty accurate. We told you in the beginning Kamala Harris would go.
Yeah, right.
So Beto O'Rourke pulled out this weekend. You see all over Facebook people put up that thing, marked safe from Beto becoming president. So he's gone. Kamala Harris will pull out in the next couple weeks.
Yeah.
She's already fired. She fired most of the staff. When you get rid of the staff, I think you're getting close to the issue. You wouldn't be getting rid of the staff if you planned to stay. So she'll be gone. And as we've been saying, Mayor Pete was going to rise up.
Yep.
Look at him now. Now, I'll tell you something else about this Mayor Pete. I don't know if he's gay.
What?
I don't know. This guy has been spending his, he's like John Kerry, like from the age of 18, he's been scheming to be president. Plotting out things. Remember Kerry? Kerry was a war protester who suddenly went to Vietnam for 2 months to serve and ran right back and became a protester again.
Wait a minute, you suggest this guy's politically gay?
Possibly. Look at his military. Same thing as Kerry. He decided way back when he wants to say he was in Afghanistan. That'll be a great credential. He's the mayor of South Bend, so he's got a lot of clout with the local reserve there. So he serves in the reserve, but he pulls off a thing. This is pretty interesting. He got himself a job on a base working at a desk for a few months in Afghanistan. Usually, when you deploy, it's with a unit. Your unit deploys. That's how you end up there. This is one of the few cases in the history of the world where he deployed alone. He was called up alone. In other words, the U.S., was it the Navy or the Army? Said, we need one guy. Could you send us one guy to work at a desk? So it was a one-guy deployment. It's happened before, very rarely. It's in the case of where somebody has tremendous clout. So he gets this deal where he's going to have a desk job on a base for 4 or 5 months. He worked at a computer terminal on a base. That's what he did. Now, you'll always hear him say, 119 times I went outside the wire. That means you left the base. They call that outside the wire.
He goes for coffee?
No, he volunteered to be a chauffeur because sometimes the what they were doing was work on tracing money of terrorist organizations. They were doing financial tracing of, so sometimes his commanders had to go to a meeting somewhere, like they'd trace the money to a government office somewhere in Kabul. So the guy would have to go over there for a meeting, and these guys have drivers. So Mayor Pete volunteered to be a driver a few times.
Well, that's pretty dangerous.
So that's his military experience, desk job at a computer and chauffeur.
Oh, gosh.
So I'm just saying, he, God bless him, he helped our military.
But what's the thing about not being gay?
So he put together this thing so he could always say, hey, when I deployed to Afghanistan, you hear that in debates. Yeah, when I was in Afghanistan, when I deployed, never points out a little desk job. So maybe he just calculated being gay would be the perfect thing. You know, these guys, when they're going to run, they study demographics. Where's the opening? Where's the... So what base do you want to appeal to?
I don't know that gives you a political advantage.
Oh, in the Democratic world?
Well.
Oh, my God. Announce you're an ex-convict, too. All these things. Announce you're part of some anti-Semite group. These things get you big points in Democratic world. So who knows if he, I don't know, you know, every, he kind of builds up that military resume beyond anything it actually was.
Hmm.
Who knows?
Okay.
Who knows?
Yeah, well.
I would start looking at the same thing with John Kerry. You remember when he's exactly like Kerry. Remember when Kerry, they checked into everything. I threw away my medals as soon as I came back, it said on tape. Then they find out he didn't throw away his medals. Then they found out he did throw away his medals. Everything was fake. So,
okay.
Then remember when he said, I know what it means to run a business. I was a small businessman.
Yes.
So they traced that down. His brother opened a David's Cookies franchise. He claimed he worked there. That was his small.
Well, he was an investor then.
Yeah. That was his small. I'm just saying, keep an eye on this Beto. He's the rising star. So now he's going to get examined. He's going to get x-rayed by the opposition. We'll see what they come up with. Hey, so the fake impeachment goes on today. They're calling four witnesses today. Ah, there you go. It's getting serious. Four witnesses. Remember the poor guy last week, Andrew Vindman?
Oh, yeah.
This fat yutz they found, who's a clerk at the White House. He has no authority. My judgment was it wasn't good. Nobody ever asked him for his judgment. His job is he's a Ukraine scholar. If they have a question on Ukraine, they need him to bring in a file. He's never met Donald Trump. He's never met the president. Very minor job. Not much above a clerk over there. When you see him, he just looks like a fat yutz. He just looks like...
He looked good in that uniform, didn't he?
That's the point. They ordered him to wear the uniform. I think even if you're not in the military, you can figure out if you're going to an informal meeting in a basement, that's not where you wear your dress uniform.
No. Okay.
You could argue you want to be in uniform, but that's not dress uniform to go to an informal meeting in a basement. So they made him put on the uniform with the medals. And you can come right up. There's a door you can pull up at and go right to that basement. They had him pull up on the other side so he could be paraded around the sidewalk for pictures.
Yeah, perfect.
So, but if you check out my Twitter or my Instagram, no, my Twitter, I have a picture of this guy without the uniform. Take a look at it. You wouldn't listen to this guy for 1 second without that uniform on. So they're going to do more of that today. There's talk now. They've got nothing. What is the exact charge that he... Held up aid?
He held up military aid to get Ukraine to investigate a political opponent.
Okay, but we always hold up military aid, always, in exchange for quid pro quo. The Obama administration did it a number of times with Israel, things they wanted Israel to do or Israel to allow this or some. So we're always holding up military. It's aid. It's it's foreign aid. There's no reason on earth we'd be giving other countries money. But we give away many billions in this foreign aid. Obviously, it's quid pro quo. We expect cooperation. We expect them to be an ally in whatever we're
doing. There is quid pro quo, right?
That's the idea. Why would we send a strange country? Here's $5 billion. Nope. We don't need anything. Of course you expect cooperation. In fact, Bill Clinton signed that 1997 treaty with the Ukraine that they would cooperate in investigations when we do them. You remember the investigation of Paul Manafort by Mueller?
Oh, yeah.
He went to the Ukraine a number of times and asked them to investigate things for him about Manafort. Anybody complain?
No.
Anybody have a problem with that? 13 times the Mueller investigation went to foreign countries and asked them to investigate. We do it all the time. So you could say, well, you can't do it to your political opponent. Well, what does that mean? All somebody has to do is declare they're running against you. They're suddenly immune from any investigation. And if that's the rule... What about the investigating candidate Trump? What about the Obama administration going to court and getting FISA warrants to spy on his campaign?
No, that was okay.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. So they got nothing there. By the way, Biden also, the quid pro quo where he wanted he held up the aid demanding the prosecutor be fired. There's another one they found. He held up aid demanding they go anti-Israel on a certain vote. He wanted Ukraine to vote against Israel on something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this goes on all the time. So this is going to go nowhere. Pelosi over the weekend said they may have to bring up the Mueller report and that those things at the end. Remember the Mueller report? The report. Second half, the staff wrote a gossip column. It was kind of like a page six column of incidents. They may look at some of those. Remember that Don McGahn?
Mm-hmm.
Another clerk in the White House. He's a guy with no authority. He was just a lawyer on staff. If you wanted to ask a question, he said the president called him and asked him to fire Mueller. First of all, this guy hasn't got the authority to fire the gardener at the White House. He can't fire anybody. The president would know that.
Well, the other thing that came out said that apparently Trump was obsessed with getting the Hillary Clinton emails.
Yeah, well, so everybody was.
Yeah, I know.
Who wasn't?
I'd love to get those.
Everybody was obsessed with it. I don't know. If they're back to the Mueller report, it's pretty lame, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it means they got nothing. So they'll hobble along with this for a while. Anyway, we got lots to get to. Hey, we got to seriously talk about the city. We'll get to this in a moment. They've chased Donald Trump out. He's moving to Florida. And we got to talk about, these people have to be stopped. De Blasio, Cuomo. City council. They're about to release dangerous criminals.
This is crazy
and serious. We'll get to this coming up. Check out the webpage. There's a lot of good stuff up there. Beto has resigned. We put together a very touching montage of some of Beto's greatest moments in the campaign. Watch the crazy, goofy moments in the campaign. Hey, also, the Trump campaign has put together an ad on the impeachment. Watch this. It's really funny. Hey, you know this Robert De Niro acts so high and mighty, but he's desperate for money and does these sleazy commercials, TV commercials. You never see him because he runs around the world doing them in other countries. He's not the only one. Some movie stars don't want to be seen needing money and doing commercials, so they do them in another country with a contract saying it can never show in the United States. But watch one of them up on the webpage. It's all there. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark. There must be more to this story. Although it just says a consensual affair, but it didn't comply with our values at McDonald's. What values? It's like a fast food place where you get a hamburger. Values? It's McDonald's. It's like midnight and nothing else is open. You pull into McDonald's. You don't sit in the parking lot and say, you know, I wonder about the values of this place. It's not a church. It's McDonald's. So there must be more to this story, but it hasn't leaked out yet. Hey, now, these people that run New York State are total disasters from de Blasio to Cuomo to this crazy city council speaker, Corey Johnson, to all of these lunatics. They've got to go. You know, it's one thing to screw up the traffic with these bike lanes. It's another thing to create homeless camps all over the street. But now it's getting really deadly. The new plan is to release prisoners, no bail, just release the prisoners out of prison. They want to immediately release 900 prisoners. Now, if you look at, remember when you first read about this, it'd be for minor thing, like turnstile jumping. Well, I'm looking at this list of 900. These are serious crimes, serious felonies, assaults, attacks, shootings. These are serious prisoners being let out. Why would you suddenly let 900 out? Well, they said under the new plan, which kicks in January, they're going to have to release so many prisoners. They don't want to release a billion of them at once, so they're going to let 900 out now. Do you know, like, where are they going to release from? Is it Rikers? Is it
well, I mean, all over? It's usually people who are, like, being held on bail.
So that's Rikers.
Yeah.
That means all over New York City, 900 dangerous prisoners are going to be let out. Mm-hmm. Now, if you let them out, what makes you think they'll ever show up again? Well, the mayor has come up with an unbelievable
plan. This is
plan.
A great plan. Are you kidding me?
They're going to offer Yankee tickets. I'm not kidding. I swear to God. This is the Mayor de Blasio came up with this. They'll offer Yankee tickets to the prisoners to make sure that they show up. First of all, they're dangerous criminals. If they want Yankee tickets, they'll steal them. They don't need you. They'll break into the stadium.
How do they come up with these ideas?
What makes you think they need you? If they want anything, they go steal it. They'll stand in the parking lot and mug somebody and take their tickets and go in. They don't need you to give them tickets. They'll be on that subway train robbing Yankee tickets. So, first of all, if they had Yankee tickets, they're just going to sell them.
You know, I you hear these things, and you say to yourself, maybe he is smoking pot there at Gracie Mansion and coming up with this stuff.
It can't just be that. Because, well, he's nuts. But the thing about Andrew Cuomo, you know, if he wanted to, he could be a good governor. I have a feeling his father was Mario Cuomo. He's just, I think he's just calculating and he's going with the crazy nut job liberals. He's the kind of guy that could stop all this crap, but he won't because he sees which way the wind is blowing. But this is ridiculous. Look at Donald Trump announcing he's leaving. Now, it's not about taxes. You know, they keep de Blasio and Cuomo saying, yeah, he just want to pay his taxes. He doesn't have to pay any tax for the next 5 years. He has no salary, no income. He gets about 400-something thousand as president, but he's giving the money away. He has zero income for the last couple of years and zero income for the next 5 years. So this is not about taxes. It has nothing to do with taxes. This is about Cy Vance, Letitia James, Bill de Blasio, and Andrew Cuomo. They've been harassing him. They've been targeting him for partisan, punitive investigating, and he's leaving as a result.
I don't blame him.
I don't blame him at all. You know, his income tax for the last bunch of years was heavily, seriously, viciously audited by the Obama administration. So for Cy Vance to say, I better take a look at it, or Letitia James, maybe I better go over it. Don't worry. Who's that crazy IRS commissioner they had? Obama. What was her name?
Oh, you know who I mean. She was aggressive.
Yeah, don't worry. These are the most vetted tax returns ever in history. You don't need to look at them again. So this is just harassment. And then what is Cy Vance is a good guy. He's like Cuomo. He could do a good job if he wanted to. He's the kind of guy who should rise above this partisan nonsense. What is he looking at? Michael Cohen, Stormy Daniels, Cy Vance. You know, stop looking at Stormy Daniels.
Got to get elected in New York.
It's all election gimmickry and all of that. But Cy Vance has got a long, proud name, the family name. He should be doing serious work here. He's investigating Stormy Daniels for the 11th time. Letitia James doesn't know any better, does what she's told. She's kind of a bumbler. Nice woman, but a bumbler. De Blasio, again.
What is he angling for?
He's just a crazy left-wing guy. Puts homeless camps all over New York. Wants to release all the prisoners. It's absolutely ridiculous. Look at this new plan now. They want to charge for every parking space in New York in residential neighborhoods.
Right, yeah.
It's all... we're going to have to do something about this. You got an election tomorrow. Tomorrow's an election day. First guy to vote out. He's the only guy running right now. What's his name? Jumaane Williams. Vote him out tomorrow. There's a Republican from Staten Island running against him. I don't know who the hell the guy is, but it's got to be 100 times better than Jumaane Williams. Vote Jumaane Williams out tomorrow. You got Republican from Staten Island. How bad could the guy be?
Exactly.
It can't be any worse than Jumaane Williams. This is another crazy. Go to the polls. Vote him out tomorrow. You got races in New Jersey. You got mayoral races all over the place.
There's local town races, and I think the full assembly is up for re-election, too.
Yeah. Greenwich, Connecticut, vote for Fred Camillo, good guy. Norwalk, you got this Democrat running. I forget his name, but everybody says he's okay. He's kind of like a Republican.
Really?
Yeah, so in New Jersey, who do we need to vote for?
It doesn't matter.
New Jersey, you tried everything for governors. Fat people, short people, thin people, tall people, men,
not
women,
fix anything.
Democrats, Republicans. Nobody made a difference. So, hey, when we come, Goodwin will be with us. He's going to have a lot to say about this. We'll get to Michael Goodwin next on 710 WOR. Let's get the latest news. Here's Joe Bartlett.
President Trump wants the whistleblower revealed. The person is offered to answer written questions from Republicans, but Trump tweeted this morning, not acceptable. The president says the whistleblower must come forward and testify. Cops looking for a man seen on video attacking an elderly man in the Bronx. The victim was inside an elevator in an apartment building on East 187th Street, was punched and kicked repeatedly. The suspect escaped. Victim treated at the hospital for cuts to his face. A United Airlines flight forced to make an emergency landing at Newark Airport this morning, just 13 minutes after takeoff. Plane was headed to Orlando, but turned around after reports of smoke in the cockpit. No one was hurt. Our next update at 11, breaking news at 1. Start your day with Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning, 6 to 10 tomorrow. I'm Joe Bartlett on 710 WOR.
Here's your WOR Weather Channel forecast. Nice start to the work week. Mostly sunny skies and a little milder here today. Mid-50s this afternoon. Upper 40s to around 50 tonight with clouds moving in. Showers mainly in the morning for Tuesday. Otherwise cloudy and milder tomorrow. Highs around 60 tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Ken Boone.
Good day, everyone. I'm Ron Insana. On Wall Street, stocks extending their push into record territory amid some favorable developments over the weekend. Comments that the U.S. and China are getting closer to completing phase one of a trade accord that could take some pressure off the global economy and certainly help take a lid off manufacturing, which has been suffering over the last many months under the weight of the trade war between those two countries. Meanwhile, we've gotten some decent economic data, the stronger than expected jobs numbers on Friday, helping to push both Asian and European market shares higher in overnight and midday trade as the U.S. stock market gets off to a good start. So-called reflation or rebound trade underway on Wall Street as everything is effectively trading up. Stocks, interest rates on the 10-year note moving to 1.75%. Dollar is firmer against key foreign currencies. We have oil and gold trading higher as well. Two stocks to watch, McDonald's letting its CEO go because of a consensual relationship with an underling, and Under Armour, which is under investigation for accounting irregularities. That stock down sharply in today's trade. I'm Ron Insana for New York 710 WOR.
Prevailed with both the governor and the mayor, but no luck. This is obviously at first blush, it's about Donald Trump. They are sort of pro Democrat to the hilt, and so Trump must be treated as Satan. He has no standing, no respect as president, none of that. Just in the way Andrew Cuomo also said, ultra conservatives have no place in New York. You know, gun owners have no place in New York if you don't have the right kind of gun for Andrew Cuomo. So we have this kind of college campus attitude that if I don't agree with you, you can't speak. To treat the president of the United States that way, the way both the mayor and the governor did, is a disgrace. And, you know, Mark, FDR was the last New Yorker in the White House. And for years after years, you know, I would hear stories, you know, you would have all this congressional delegation. The mayor would have lobbyists. The governor would have lobbyists in Washington. They were always trying to get something from Washington for New York. To have a fellow New Yorker in the White House should be a bonanza for New York. The president doesn't need to necessarily go through Congress, although that would be easy, too. With both parties, you would see the Republicans would support whatever the president wanted, and the Democrats would support whatever the governor or the mayor wanted. You could do lots of things for New York. No, they make no effort. They treat him like dirt. And now he's gone, and so they say good riddance. I mean, it is disgraceful. If you think back, I mentioned Ed Koch working with Ronald Reagan. Rudy Giuliani worked with Bill Clinton. Michael Bloomberg worked with governors, presidents of both parties, because he himself was from both parties. But this is a tradition. It's a smart tradition. But now we have this kind of thing that, you know, if I don't agree with you, I can't talk to you. It's not just a policy difference. It's a moral difference. And you are Satan if I don't like your policies. And this is destructive, not just to the country, not just to our civic fabric, but to the practical aspects of you got nothing from the president for New York because you couldn't simply deal with him, because you hate him so much you couldn't possibly approach him. This is so counterproductive. I mean, they really are not doing their jobs.
You know, also the tax forms that everybody's talking about, Lois Lerner was this vicious IRS commissioner under Obama. They audited the Trump tax returns. They didn't find anything wrong. Why would Cy Vance waste time going through them looking for a little tiny Stormy Daniels payment?
Because he wants to be part of the impeachment crusade. That's all. They all want to be part of the jackals that are trying to tear the president to shreds. They go after his family foundation. I mean, think of, what about the Clinton Foundation? Did any New Yorker ever look at that? Where's the great Preet Bharara when he was tearing up the pea patch of everybody? He didn't look at the Clinton Foundation. It was headquartered here. Think of all the scams that were run out of there. But no, they go after the Trump Foundation, which was tiny by comparison. Tiny foundation, but it had the magic name on it, Trump.
The only foundation that never took a penny in expenses.
That's right. That's right. And the president said, you know, we never got any value out of it. They said, well, you know, he says that they told, I guess somewhere in one of their filings, that you got the publicity from it. Well, what foundation donor doesn't get publicity from the gifts they give? I mean, it's nonsense, but it's a double standard for Donald Trump, and it's become normalized. That, I think, is the great danger, Mark. You know, society, we can deal with some sociopaths and psychopaths, but when our elected leaders start breaking all of these rules in ways that delegitimize the other, make the other, I mean, it's not good for our country, but this is how college kids act, and now you have the mayor and the governor acting like that.
Hey, what about, listen, we look the other way on these crazy liberals running everything. You know, all right, they'll screw up the streets with these bike lanes. Then the next thing you know, we'll put homeless people all over the streets. All right, we'll live with that. Now they're talking about releasing dangerous criminals, 900 of them in the first batch. Where is this going to stop?
Yeah, I actually had a vision while you were talking about the homeless and the bike lanes. You know, sooner or later, the homeless will be living in the bike lane. then the bureaucrats will have a real tough time deciding whose side they're on. But you're right about Rikers Island. I mean, this is another form of insanity. You know, we saw it the other night with this anarchy over fare beating, fare evasion on the subways. You know what? Hundreds of people go down and one person gets arrested. I mean, if we're going to stop enforcing the law, just tell us all. You know, we don't have to pay our taxes anymore. We don't have to abide. We just throw our garbage on the street. You know, why should half the population or 80% of the population, you know, abide by the rules, pay your taxes, and the other 20% break the rules, don't pay any taxes, and are celebrated by our politicians? I mean, they have totally flipped the script about what it means to be a good citizen.
So you've seen this stuff come and go. What this crazy, these crazy people running the state and city, is this just a cycle that will end at some point? We'll go back to a Giuliani type of mayor?
You know, Mark, that's a good question. And if you think about it, say, in the 70s when there were riots and things like that, there were some politicians who said, well, you know, they're just venting or it's okay. Or even with, you know, pickpockets or squeegee men. Some politicians justified it as people trying to make a living or whatever. But they in no way celebrated criminality. They didn't condone criminality. Perhaps they excused it as necessary, but they didn't celebrate it. I'm thinking of welfare, for example. You know, when Giuliani became mayor, there was something like 1.1 million New Yorkers on welfare, about one-seventh of the population. And the Dinkins people had plans for it to rise to 1.5 million. Now, they weren't encouraging it. They just saw it as inevitable. And Giuliani said, no, it's not inevitable. And by the time he left office, instead of 1.1 million, there were 400,000 because he instituted a workfare, which was in the law, but which nobody ever implemented, so that you had to work for your benefits. Well, voluntarily, for the most part, dropped off the welfare rolls because, as it turns out, many of them actually had jobs off the books, and they would not give up that job to go work for their welfare benefits. They were making more money on the job than they were from welfare. So it's that kind of approach to civic responsibility that the Democrats are now, if what they did 30 years ago was bad, what they're doing now is 10 times worse, because they're actually celebrating this antisocial behavior. They're not just excusing it anymore. They're saying it's justified. It's justified by racism. It's justified because of the wealth, the wealthy people taking all the money. I mean, none of this is true. None of this is economically valid. But this celebration of the lawbreakers and of the criminals is the most dangerous thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. Well, if you want to read more, get Michael Goodwin's column from yesterday's New York Post. You can go online. It's every Sunday, every Wednesday, but always available online at newyorkpost.com. And Michael Goodwin, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Mark.
Take care. And check out the webpage. A lot of good stuff up there. Watch this. Beto has left the race. But watch all of his stupidest, goofiest moments cut together. Hey, also the Trump campaign, brilliant new ad on impeachment. Take a look at it. Also, Robert De Niro, this phony baloney guy, he doesn't want to be seen doing commercials. So he does them overseas where you can't see them. But take a look. Here's his latest. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark.